Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody's getting ready and spending quality family time and getting ready for all that good food. And we do count our blessings, and we are thankful. Today is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Honored and delighted that you're here with us to engage in this conversation once again about this awesome ancient technology of forgiveness and, of course, living a life as a true human being. If you have any confusion at any moment in your life about what a human being is, what I suggest that you do is hold a newborn child and have the experience of what human life is. And you know, it's sort of the thing where we all start out in exactly that same place, as that sweet, awesome presence of love that we are designed to experience life out of. And then, as we arrive into the world tends to do its best to knock that out of us. And what we're looking to do with this work is to be restored to the truth of who we are as human beings, and to come back to that full-blown expression of love that we're designed to be. One of the problems is, well, two problems. One, and we've said this many times before, probably the greatest atrocity done to us down through the ages and that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. Each of us is a creative being. And we tend to come into the world programmed in, well, pre-programmed, I should say, in a way that seems to take away our creative possibilities. And the restoration of the truth of who we are comes from undoing those programs, those preconceived ways of thinking, of living, of dying. And through the process of forgiveness, we can undo those preconceived ways of doing things and restructure our lives. You know, when we come into the world, life will unfold automatically in each area where we have been preconceived. And think of that word conception as conceiving, as in a creative process. And unless we uproot those things, which we've been filled with by previous generations and by experiences, perhaps even right down to and including in the womb, unless we remove those things, which is done through forgiveness, life will unfold automatically. Not because life has to happen that way, but because we are energetically patterned with those particular creative ideas. I love how Carl Jung said it. it's become one of my favorite quotes, and that is that until the unconscious is made conscious, it will direct your life, and you will call it fate. And so the challenge becomes that of making oneself ready. You know, a huge part and an important part of doing this work is making yourself ready for the experience of a fully conscious co-creator, so that we set our lives up not according to preconceived notions, but rather we originate, as we are designed to do, from a state of being that presence of love. It takes setting oneself up to be receptive for quite literally conceiving differently. Now, there's an interesting passage, we've talked about this one a little bit before, a story in the scriptures about a woman who goes to see Yeshua, and we're told in the Greek translations that there was a throng of people around Yeshua. And Yeshua notices a shift in his energy, and he asks who it was that engaged the energy in a way that he could sense its shift. And nobody comes forward. Two or three times he asks the question. Peter says to him, well, you know, everybody's touching you. And Yeshua asks the question, who was that? Who touched me? And the Greeks translate it as, I perceive that virtue has left me. But in Aramaic, it's more that there's been an energy shift in me, that there's been a change in my field, as though someone is drawing energy from me, would be more what it would look like. Finally, a woman comes forward and said, it was me. And it's interesting, even today, people want to put the healing process onto Yeshua, but when given the opportunity to take credit for it, he refuses. He says, no, not me. It wasn't mine. He points to her and says, it was your, and he uses the word faith, and I'm not sure all the ways that word might be translated from the Aramaic, but he's saying to her, you had an expectation, a belief in possibility that nobody else had. You're the only one. There was, you know, I'm the same for everybody that's here, this whole throng. I'm the same. But there's something different about you. You had this expectation, this space for possibility that no one else had. Perhaps her expectation was that something unique and healing was about to happen to her. And that something unique that she had, no one else had. No one else was in that particular space. Now, we don't know exactly what it was that she was holding the space for, but it was the thing that made the difference. And in part, a big part of this work is to support you, is to prepare you to have that kind of a shift occur, to have that kind of change happen, and to support you in making yourself ready to experience from that place the truth of who you are and the restoration to full-blown creative possibility. So, if you think yourself standing in Yeshua's field, his energy is the same for this whole throng, a difference in one person. And this is the preparation. This is the work that we're talking about, that when you are vital enough, when you touch into that higher level of energy, you can bring about a shift of everything in your awareness, including your physiology. Those particular women had what they called a 12-year issue of blood. She had been having a menstrual cycle that went on for 12 years, which left her in a pretty awkward place, because in that culture, she was considered to be unclean. she couldn't even go into the kitchen and prepare a meal for her family, which in that culture was a pretty significant thing for a woman. So there's something different that she engages in, that she experiences, comes from the space of readiness that she holds, as opposed to something that Yeshua gives her. And I'd offer that it is the challenge of each of us to come to this space of possibility, to come to this space of experiencing ourselves as who we are, and that expectation, you know, simply giving your physiology the permission to shift out of patterns that perhaps have already been established and become reestablished in different patterns, different states of being that you are truly designed for. So as one does their work, as one, you know, we speak often of building the brain cells, and that it is an ongoing process. You know, we're not given any insight as to how long this woman worked to achieve this state that was different than what everybody else had achieved. But in my experience, it's a process that simply takes time. I suspect that it could happen if we were receptive enough, and again, think in terms of creativity. In order for someone to conceive, there has to be a receptivity. There has to be a space for that seed to be planted. And so to be in that receptive space in our minds and available is what can make the difference for everything to shift, including, and we've been taught that the physical body is physical, but we know now that if we listen to the likes of, let's say, Max Planck, when he's receiving the Nobel Prize in physics, he says, quote, on such things as matter, or no, pardon me, that's an Einstein quote. What Max Planck says is, as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. He says, there is no matter as such. He says, our entire world is made of succeedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another within another. If one is in a diseased state, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, what have they conceived of, what have they set up that has created this dis-ease condition? And what do we need to do to be restored to the truth of who we are? What needs to shift? What nested frequencies need to be removed? This is engaging in the ancient practice of first century Aramaic forgiveness. Nothing whatsoever to do with letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you, but rather the way that you remove those energetic patterns that never belonged in your life. So that's what we're here to support you in doing. That's what we're here, of course, to learn ourselves on deeper and deeper and deeper levels every day, every time we teach a new level of understanding of these dynamics come forward. And so we're honored and delighted that you're here with us. And Jeannie, do we have anybody in the well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim first. Almost walked right by that one. Excuse me, Tim, how do you be, sir?
I am well. I'm here on the Recovery Wednesday, and not usually when we had people talking specifically about the 12 steps in recovery, we didn't talk much about our Tuesday support group, but we had a Tuesday support group last night, and again, five other people and myself who are at various levels actively engaged in trying to recover moment to moment the awareness of our true nature. And, you know, the attendance at these groups ebbs and flows, and I just assume that each and every week the people that need to be there are the ones that are there. And we had earlier in the day yesterday, I was listening to some Guy Finley, and it just came to me very strongly that I should share that with the group, and so we did. And several people said that was exactly what they needed yesterday for what they were struggling with, going through, whatever you want to call it. And the essence of that work is so much like the essence of your work that at the end of that talk, he was launching into some brief comments for the next day, and he started talking about the importance of having a clear sense of purpose and how most of us don't. And so he was actually giving an exercise to the people in his seminar to go out and construct a clear sense of purpose, because from that, that was their launching pad for stirring up whatever they needed to dismantle and focusing their energies to be more productive in the world. So, again, it was a delightful meeting, group of people. Several people in the group are going through very intense emotional times right now, and so it's a blessing for me to be able to hold that space each week and present the place for them to get not just access to the tools, but that nurturing, loving environment for application of the tools in high stress and emotionally loaded situations. So, and somebody mentioned in the group last night that they listened to the show and that they thought I had quite a bit of extra energy around my comments after you threw it over to me at the opening. So I just want to offer apologies if anybody was put off by that. It's just that I have been in this field for over 43 years now, and I have helped lots and lots of people navigate through the holiday season, and I can I have first and second hand and third hand evidence of how we can be so hard on ourselves simply because, well, it's Christmas and everybody gets together on Christmas. Well, it's Thanksgiving. Everybody has to get together for Thanksgiving. Well, it's the 4th of July. Of course I have to go to the family event. And my offering is simply, please be gentle with yourself. And if there's a part of you that says, I really don't want to go, strike a balance between the Michael Rice approach and the Dr. Tim approach that says, let me get some support at least. Let me have active use of powerful tools to help me dismantle what comes up when it comes up. And let me give myself permission to do what's best for me, not just act automatically because some date rolls around on a calendar and the culture I'm living in says I have to do this or that. So that's my offering for today.
Cool. Well, actually, Tim, I don't think we were at variance in what we said yesterday. I think that you know, that message of taking care of yourself and if you're going to go, take tools with you. certainly, there's, you know, to me, there's no requirement that I have to put my feet in the fire if I'm not prepared to put my feet in the fire. But there are a lot of people that are doing it and doing it without awareness and without the tools. And so for me, the message was quite consistent with what you had to say. I didn't see a variance in it in any way, shape, or form. It's definitely a challenging time of year for a lot of people. It's a time where a lot of suffering comes forward. And my message is, if you're going to go where the suffering is resonated, take the tools and the willingness with you. Go to work. So, and if it's time to refrain, then certainly it's time to refrain, for sure. So I'm with you on that. So let's check with Jeannie and see if she has any comments in the chat room. Anybody that's got a hand up? Conversations. Jeannie?
There's a couple of people in the chat room, but no questions or anything, and nobody has a hand up. So we've got 39 minutes. If somebody has a question, press 1, and you are first in line without waiting. Maybe if nothing else, call and say what you're thankful for.
Yay, that would be a cool idea. I'll start off with that one. I'm thankful for the fact, you know, first and foremost, something that to me just strikes me with such deep appreciation so often is just the fact that we get to have a human life. I mean, when you look at the universe and all, I mean, to just have the the opportunity to begin to experience that, to me, is just monumental. And then, of course, to have health and well-being, to live in a country in particular where there's enough wealth for us to have abundance and to be well-fed, sometimes maybe even more well-fed than we need to be, and that another big piece for me of the puzzle is that for whatever reason I was handed these first century Aramaic principles and tools and had the inclination to move forward with spending time with them to the point where I literally gave up everything else in my life to be with this work full time. You know, it was a time when I had 3 businesses and about 60 employees, and it was a different game. So I'm certainly appreciative for the nudges that the universe gave me and the things it put in my hands to comprehend this work and to move it forward in the world. And for the people who went before us, who set a tone, who set a pathway out for us to walk and realize ourselves as the active presence of love, and to live in that way is a monumental gift. And, of course, another major appreciation in my life is the fact that you're in it, Jeannie. And I am honored and blessed that you chose me to be your other half. So there are some of the things that I'm certainly in appreciation of. Family, you know, when I wrote the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, people have asked me about the list of names in the front of it. And sincerely, all of those names are people who've made a contribution to the work. I don't remember how many are there now, 400 plus. And all of those people, I'm deep appreciation for, you know, each one that gave one little thought, one little piece of the puzzle that came in and assisted in making a bigger understanding happen. And just where each of the gifts came from of learning to decode and unfold these Aramaic ideas has been a monumental blessing. And, of course, I have 3 awesome, beautiful children, which I am deeply appreciative of. And you as an audience that you're here, that we have Blog Talk Radio, this technology, pretty amazing. You have anything you want to share, Tim or Jeannie?
Well, I posted on my Facebook. It's really long, so I'm looking for it to repost it again so anybody can go back out and read all the things that I am thankful for. I put it out there every year, edited a little bit for the new things that have happened in my life during the year. And just thankful for the way things have unfolded, even some of the questionable areas. Am I still on, or are we still on? Michael, I'm not hearing you, and so I don't know if it's you or me, if we've gotten
there. You're there, Jeannie.
Oops.
Okay.
Excuse me, here I am.
All right, I could hear you talking through the wall, but nothing was coming through my phone.
Okay, I had hit the mute button when you started to talk, sweetie. All right, well, anything for you to share, Dr. Tim? Anybody in our audience has a thought or something you appreciate? Which one?
I have tremendous gratitude also for this work and this community, and I think as far as my expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving go today, I will just keep it focused on the community of people that come to the 2 support groups and the community of people that listen to this show. And I just have the energy that I get when I tap into that gratitude has been transforming my life for the better, at least for the last 15 years. So That's what I'm going to share.
Michael, you're talking again, but you're not coming through your phone. He's having a mute challenge today.
Ah, that mute button. That's a mute button, you know, it just keeps going off by itself. Ha ha. So anybody have anything you'd like to share that you're appreciative of, you're grateful for, as we move into this Thanksgiving season? If so, push one. Or if you have a question that we can answer, any way we can support you with the tools, anything on those opening ideas of the fact that we're creators and we've been preconceived in many ways, and undoing the preconception so that we can step into the truth of who we are. Great, let's say hello.
417, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeannie. Hey, Michael. It's Julie. I'm in the gym.
Oh, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. So I might be a little bit out of breath. I have been working out and enjoying it. But the other day, Friday, I've been kind of inspired that in the worksheet, maybe the word trigger shouldn't be used, but maybe the word server. And I did share it with Tim and Michelle, I think Friday last week. What it was is, you know, like if my brother went by me and, you know, tapped me on the head, that might trigger me. But the worksheet, I think, should serve me. And so what I was inspired to use is the word server, that they're serving up a reality. When I think of, let's say, you, because I've done worksheets on you, and I think that you triggered me, then my mind goes, so I'm a victim to you, and then you're the problem, and I want to send you away. Rather than, you are actually my friend. You are showing me a part of my mind. You are serving up a reality for me, showing me a part of my mind that needs to be addressed. And that without you, or without someone else showing me that part of my mind, I can't move forward, and I can move forward if I accept that you are serving me that reality up. And when, like, I don't know how many people have called me, and they would say, oh, yeah, he triggered me, so therefore it's mine, and, yeah, but, you know, they can't seem to get their mind wrapped around about the triggering, and it's mine. But if you serve me up a reality, and I can look at that in a loving space, that this is mine. I am experiencing it. It's mine, you know? So I don't know. I have a lot of course, I have past realities about triggers, and I can think about all the different times. All of us have been triggered in a variety of ways. So you know, when someone leaves, then we are triggered into sadness, or if someone does this, we're more triggered into that. But I think what I would like to create is that worksheet be so friendly that it's easy for people to accept that this is my reality versus that they are the trigger rather than me. They're serving something up for me. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I did share it with Michelle and Tim. And what I'm grateful for is that the knowledge of this work, the community. I'm grateful for you, I'm grateful for Jeannie, I'm grateful for all the connections I have made, Heartland, everything. I felt blessed when I was back at my class reunion for my awareness, for my journey. So I'm very grateful for that and thankful. And so I wanted to offer that. Anyway, okay, I'll go on to the next machine.
Cool,
and hear what
you
have. You're welcome.
No. Yeah, I would see one challenge with the way you're languaging that with the words, and that is that, you know, they're not serving up a reality in me or for me. My mind is serving that reality up in me. They are the person who's resonated it and certainly given me the gift of seeing the hidden part of my mind, but it's my mind that's serving up the reality. And if I deny that part, you know, and I pretend they're serving it up, then I'm at another level of challenge. So for me, the word trigger is a more fitting word to recognize this is something in me. They've certainly resonated it for me, and my mind serves it up. And now that my mind serves it up, it's my mind that can change the content that, you know, that lies beneath the surface. And as I engage in the forgiveness process, I can come back into direct relationship with the root of what my mind is serving up in response to the events that happen in my life. And to me, that would be a clearer path to recognizing that this is mine and about me. So that would just be my input on it.
Okay. I have also added, you know, when I'm doing the worksheet in my mind, rather than just my name, you know, like rather than saying somebody else's name, I would say my mind. And that's helped too. You know, it's like, okay, this is about me, about how my mind is functioning. I don't want to put anybody else's name here. This is, you know, and so that's helped a little bit too. So I see your point of view.
Cool. Cool. Any special plans for Thanksgiving?
No. Actually, we're just going to have a nice little meal and settle in, probably watch a movie, be thankful, take
cool.
a walk.
Well,
yep.
Enjoy.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Lots of love and blessings.
Yeah. You too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Blessings. Bye-bye.
And
Julie,
we have
give everybody their hug for us. Okay. Let's go for it.
All right, area code 336, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Tracy.
Hey, young lady, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that I'm extremely moved, touched, and inspired and grateful for Heartland and for you guys and the work you do and for Julie and all the support that I've had over this journey. It moves me to tears. And breathe, right?
I join you in breathing, for sure.
Yeah. Just so much gratitude that I can see today and that I
Yay.
Have this work and this journey and that I found my way back to my higher self and for my mother who took care of me, 80 years old, and took care of me for, you know, countless doctor visits and all of that stuff. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I just acknowledge you all for your letting go of the business stuff and saying we'll do whatever it takes to make it available to people. Thank you.
Well, thank you for saying thank you. It's our honor and our blessing, and appreciate the way you're moving it to the next level and making it available to still more and more people. And I certainly hold the space that we get to the point where it's available to every mind, heart, and being on planet Earth.
Yes, amen.
How cool a time that will be.
Yeah. So if there's not anyone else in the phone queue, I'll share a funny story. If there's somebody waiting, I'll let them talk.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. So, ironically, I have met a friend in the woods where I walk my dog, and we were immediately connected and become close friends, and we had a lot of similar parallels in our life, with probably the most striking one being having had friendships that just seemed to disappear for what we both thought was no reason. We really couldn't associate the reason. And but we had shared, you know, our different situations. And the irony of this is that I am a person whose power person always screamed and yelled and was volatile. And so what I did with that was suppress it always because I didn't want to be like her. But what was inside that is the person who's screaming and yelling but not letting it out, right? So I would never let it out, never let it out, never let it out. And you know how you say when the chips are down and the going gets tough, then you do the worst version of it? this is so ironic how it's like Central Casting sent me a message to show me my stuff in my mind, what my perceptions are. So I had a situation where I had a challenging day, several occurrences that I could see myself misinterpreting the information and feeling like the victim and wasn't able to step out of it. And I went on to a party, and this person was there, and I was already in a place where I needed to go in the bathroom and do a worksheet. And I didn't. We were playing games. And so at one point in the evening when I had gotten up to leave two times before and didn't, she said something really sarcastic and mean-spirited. And the Tracy who would always be like, look the other way, ignore it, you know, turn it in on myself, never make a scene, don't say anything, lost it. Completely, I did the Janelle, my mom thing, my power person. And I just stood up and I said, well, that's it, I'm done, I've had enough, I'm going home. And I grabbed my purse and I turned around and left. Now, this is something that for my whole life I made my mother wrong for doing. And I could not understand how she could, you know, I don't know, I just was judging her. Anyway, I realized that through my worksheets and the process of working on sorting out, okay, what is going on with me, aside from the power person dynamic, is that I see that my self-hatred that was turned inward, particularly for the events that had happened that day, but just in general from years of whatever, carbon-based memory, my interpretation of things, you know, through my life, that when she said this ugly thing to me, I believed it was true. I believed that was her true thought of me, and I was just, you know, shocked, appalled, and hurt, and stood up and left. And when I got home, I realized after doing all my work, now this has been a little while because it's taken me a while to get myself separated from it and watch my ego or my lower self, whatever you want to call it, my thinking mind try to figure it out until my other mind said, you know, you're not going to get anywhere figuring it out. You can't read her mind. It's your stuff. So I just finally got myself to the place of love and forgiveness and non-judgment and, canceling my goal to have people always say what I think they should say to me and for me to always say what I want to back, to respond in kind, to respond in love. And, you know, I failed. I lost it. I had an ego moment, and I can forgive myself today. And it's like, what a beautiful thing. I can let go of my, you know, stuff about all the stuff I made up about what's wrong with her. Wah, 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 wah. You know, she had a moment. That's all. We just, like, the computer got hacked. The love connection, the, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Rukkha Dukkha, the whole thing of being, you know, Rachma and Kuba, it just got hacked in a moment. I had a carbon-based memory freak out. But I just think it's such a beautiful irony that this is what God showed me, you know, to work on. And like my mind created this, so another layer of the same old story that runs me can get undone.
Pretty awesome how life gives us opportunities, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and I'd offer one little reminder in there, as you say, is that I can forgive myself, that you might want to be a little crisper in your language and recognize I can let myself off the hook for doing what I always judge mom for, and then I can apply the tool of forgiveness to if that behavior is unpalatable to me, if I've been preconceived with that behavior, that I can forgive that behavior. I can take that out of my mind, and, you know, what would I have rather had mom do when she'd get up in that huff and turn and walk away? Gee, I would have loved for her to have just stayed there and been loving, gentle, respectful, and nurturing with me, held the space. then I can set my mind, I can now put a new conception in, I can conceive of doing something differently, where yesterday I was preconceived, watch my power person forever, under stress, I do that behavior, I can forgive that behavior, not myself, and I can put something new in.
Yeah, forgive that behavior.
Cool.
When you have,
well,
when
I'm
have
in appreciation
like this,
for the
what?
I was just going to say that I'm in appreciation for the stick-to-itness you've had for doing your work in the face of great adversity. It's been pretty awesome to watch.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of that's to Julie's credit. She has been at the other end of the phone for a lot of miracles.
Awesome support. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And for this show every day. That's another awesome miracle that we're all separated by distance, but we aren't separated immediately when we're on this. It's like a community of love and possibility that is provided by, you know, Wi-Fi or phone lines or whatever. It's just quite a miracle.
Yes, it is. It's pretty awesome that this technology is available to us at this time and that we have all of the archives to go back to.
Right, right.
So we can review
okay,
and review.
Okay,
blessings. And
happy Thanksgiving. I love you.
All right. Have a wondrous holy day. Lots of love.
Yep, you too.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, we've still got about 18 minutes left, so if we've got anybody else who wants to share some gratitude, share a little bit of love, or has a question, we are here for that specific purpose of bringing forward those questions and working through them, walking through them.
Well, Kathy's in the chat room, and she says, I am grateful for life, family, and friends, also for having access to this effective work, which has transformed my life, and using it with others to transform their lives. And so much appreciation and gratitude to you and Michael for being with us through this beautiful journey. Thank you, my dear, and we are thankful for you, too.
Yay, for sure. For sure. Questions, thoughts, how can we support you? What are you looking forward to in the new year? You know, getting prepared to create the best year yet of your eternal life. What does that look like for you? You know, one of the things we suggested several weeks ago, and I've checked back in a time or two, but haven't really heard from anybody on how that's been working for them. I know that I personally have found it to be very powerful. When I remember to do it, and I'm remembering more and more often to do it, that whoever I meet, just walking down the street, getting on a, you know, when we were in Williamsburg, we were on and off of buses, and all of those people that we walked past, and the driver sitting there, and walking down the street, and you know, the person in the grocery line that was a challenge, and to recognize them as true human beings, and to offer the thought that you are cherished to each and every person that we connect with. So we offer that to each of you, that you are cherished. And how has it been working for you? What have your experiences been? Has it shifted you? Has it shifted anybody around you when you silently offer that thought or perhaps say it out loud? Anything to share in that regard for anybody? You know, there was a news article the other day that recounted the crimes of Charles Manson, and that he died at the age of 83. And in hearing his name and recalling all that went on back way back when, was that in the 80s, 70s, and to offer the thought to him, you are cherished. And the basic principle that's operative there is that each of us, whatever we've been overlaid with, started out exactly the same as this awesome act of presence of love. And the fact that we live in a universe of energy, in a universe of resonance, that thought that's in the worksheet of when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. And if I choose that space of love enough, often enough, it each time has to make an impact. You know, if I hit a middle C tuning fork on a desk and I put it near a second middle C tuning fork, the second middle C tuning fork has absolutely no choice. It's going to start to resonate. It's going to start to move. And when I offer that to each person, whoever it is, at whatever level they are, whatever beauties I perceive them being engaged in or whatever atrocities I see them being engaged in, can I offer that true energy of your cherish, that space of love? And when I choose love, it has to impact and it has to begin the wake-up process for everyone who perhaps hasn't known that or hasn't been reminded of that lately. So, Jeannie, did I hear someone coming on the line?
We do have someone on, and it is, let me flip back over there. It's area code 207. You're on the air. Who do we have?
This is Jeannie. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me, Michael?
Michael, we can't hear you.
Yeah, your voice cut out. Your voice cut out for a second there.
Is that better?
You said your name.
Is that better?
Oh, there you are.
Is that better?
Okay, I got you. Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah, it's Shelly.
Hey, Shelly. Welcome.
Just, I might have to breathe through some of this. I am thankful for every moment that I get to stay in Rockma. I am thankful for everyone that has ever come into my life to, I'm not going to use the word triggered, I'm going to use the word to give me a gift to see something about myself. I'm thankful for being able to understand tools and fine-tune them. I'm thankful for the first intensive that I went to in Orlando. I'm thankful for every breath that I get. I'm just thankful for so much. Well, for you, Jeannie, and Dr. Tim, Julie in Washington, Julie Haverstick. Ari.
We breathe with you as you recount that.
I'm thankful for this moment that I get to actually feel these emotions and just the sensations that's going through me right now. Just the thankfulness that I can't speak it enough to, that I get to feel it. Like Dr. Tim says, there's no words for it. I can't explain it. It's just, I'm thankful. That's all I wanted to say.
Awesome. Well, we join you in that level of thankfulness.
It's probably everybody that listens to this show probably thinks I'm on a emotional basket case, but I'm really not. I'm just living in the moment and allowing all this to come up.
Sweet.
It is sweet. Thank you.
Definitely a gift.
It is. I'm thankful for my children. Thankful for everyone in my life, everything that's ever happened, really. There's some things I would like to change, but there's no going back to change them, so just being thankful I get through. Tomorrow marks probably the toughest day in my life I've ever seen. And I've always had to go someplace and talk through this to get me prepared for this holiday season. This is the first time that I realized that what happened was not my fault. Well, actually, I probably started realizing it a couple of years ago, but this is the first season I'm going to probably be able to get through, I hope, realizing it wasn't me. I was just there. And it was a gift to me to be there to help my friends that went through what they're the ones that actually went through what was going on. And I'm thankful that I was actually able to be there to help my friends get through probably the toughest time they've ever seen in their life. It's all a blessing. But it took me 40 years to realize it had nothing to do with me. long marks, 40 years.
It's a long time in the desert, isn't it?
It is. It really is. It is.
Anything that you'd like to share about that that we can support you with?
I really don't want to give anybody else the grief that I've been through, but if you want me to share it, I will. It's pretty dramatic.
Okay. Well, you know, no requirement. Just if there's anything we can support you with, we're here to do it.
No. I think I'm good this tomorrow. I'll be good tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'll be good. I just watched I just watched a man commit a horrific act to his whole family. That's all.
Mm.
It was
major.
It was horrific. Yeah, and I had to live through 35 years wondering if I was going to do the same thing. If that's what, you know, what happened was a man at the Thanksgiving dinner table when I was 12 years old, he murdered his wife, his child, both of his children and himself in front of the whole family.
Wow.
Thanksgiving Day. Yeah.
Whew. Well, that's major. Jeez.
And then I
went
back
to bigger than that.
No, it was the most horrific thing anybody could have, I think. I mean, other than being in combat, it was like being. And I went in, and the family, they all went to the hospital to do what they had to do. And, you know, the whole family dispersed because it was the Thanksgiving dinner was over. And they were my best friends, so I went in and cleaned up the whole mess so they wouldn't have to come home to that. Took me a long time.
Mm.
I think.
Wow, yeah, that's.
Took a long time.
What a thing for a 12-year-old to witness.
Yeah, it was intense. We were sitting on the front porch and we were smoking weed and drinking Jack Daniels that the older brother brought gave us on his way into the house. And then all we heard was pop pop pop, and we all ran into the house, and that's what it was. That's what had happened. Sad day for that family.
Yeah, for sure.
But, it was my family in the sense that we're all family, but it wasn't my kids, it wasn't my sisters, it wasn't my brothers in blood.
Right.
You know, it took me a long time to get through that. And I must say that someone special in my life helped me. Do what?
Just reiterating that now you've got a whole community of support standing here holding you in love and holding the space to melt off any residual trauma and the fact that you're so motivated to do your work to shift and change the dynamics of that kind of insanity is powerful.
Yes, and I love this community. I mean, this community's heard me probably go through more in my life than anybody's heard, and I thank all of you. Every one of you are amazing. That's all I had.
All right, sir. Delighted to be on your team. We'll look
love
forward to the next time we get face to face. All right, take care.
Yes.
Love.
All right.
Bye bye. Whew, big stuff. You know what people have been through is beyond comprehension, and we're here to hold the space for the healing of all of it, every little piece that's unlike love. So Jeannie, do we have anybody else in the phone queue or anybody with a comment in the chat room?
No, there's no other hand up, no other comment in the chat room. We've got 4 minutes, so we've got time for somebody to share what they're thankful for.
So who's got something you'd like to share with us? The gratitude list. It's interesting. I've done some research in university settings, and one of the things we've got empiric research on is the power, the healing power of gratitude. And so it is powerful, and to share that is to open the space for each of us to get to deeper and deeper levels of that gratitude. It's So we're down to just a few minutes. And would love to hear your voice. We breathe with you. Certainly what was just shared is pretty shocking. And if it shocks you, then we hold the space for that shock wave to soften in the presence of love, to let loose, to open. So in step two, in the wake-up sheet, the current seven-step version, there's a statement about I'm willing to become the space to embrace every assault, every energy that's been less than love in all of my generations. And to me, the appreciation is deep to have had the insight that that's a possibility, that the ancient Aramaic idea of praying for the dearly departed had nothing to do with getting down on your knees and folding your hands. It was about doing your work, and that as we do our work, we are able to access those levels and those layers of energy that never belonged in the human system and support their healing. So we're here to do that. If you're going to be in Roanoke a couple of weeks, we'll be up there doing a week of workshops at Unity of Roanoke. Come and play with us. At this point, the only other events we have on our schedule is that we'll be at Unity in Birmingham the second week of January. We'll be at Unity North in Atlanta or in Marietta, Georgia, doing a week of workshops the third week of January. We're looking at perhaps doing something in Knoxville the week after that. In February, we'll be in Wilmington with Susan Darnell and her crew. I happened to call them last night during their support group, so it was kind of nice to just had somebody that I needed to reach, and they were at the support group. So I got to say hello to everybody. That was pretty cool. So we'll be there. We're looking at the possibility of a 16-day teacher training. Right now, we don't have enough energy moving in that direction to schedule it, but the requests are gathering, so we're looking at perhaps doing a 16-day teacher training. 9-day, why is this happening to me again, along with a 9-day teacher training the early part of February on the beach in North Carolina. We'll see how that all unfolds. Lots of dynamics to be put in place first. But if you're interested in that, if you'd let us know,
that'll
help us.
It would be the early part of March, Michael.
Pardon me, early
part of March.
Yes. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Yes. First week or so of March, if that moves forward. So let us know if you'd like to come and play. In the meantime, appreciation to you. Have the best year yet of your eternal life and an awesome Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.